in suspicion that the possibility so and so this tribe had killed our son or our cousin, but you don't know who among the tribe did it. So now these people, to avoid paying the blood money, the people who've been accused of the killing, now we're going to ask them to swear. Okay? Like selecting 50 people among this community or this tribe, and each one of them will swear by Allah that he didn't kill this person, neither he know who killed him. And if 50 of them they swear, now we could not demand them to pay the blood money of this person being killed. In this case, who's going to pay the blood money? Bayt al-Mal. Okay? So this hadith concerning accusation with a murder and taking an oath, swear. وعن سهل ابن أبي ختمة عن رجال من كبراء قومه أن عبد الله ابن سهل محيص ابن مسعود خرج إلى خيبر من جهد أصابهم فأتى محيص فأخبر أن عبد الله ابن سهل قد قتل وطرح في عين، فأتى يهود فقال أنتم والله قتلتموه، قال والله ما قتلناه. فأقبل هو وأخوه حويصة وعبد الرحمن ابن سهل، فذهب محيصة ليتكلم، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كبر كبر يريد السن، فتكلم حويصة ثم تكلم محيصة، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إما أن يدوا صاحبكم وإما أن يأذنوا بحرب. فكتب إليهم في ذلك كتابا فكتبوا إن والله ما قتلناه. فقال لحويصة ومحيصة وعبد الرحمن ابن سهل أتحلفون وتستحقون دم صاحبكم؟ قالوا لا. قال فيحلف لكم يهود؟ قالوا ليسوا مسلمين. فوداه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من عندي، فبعث إليه ماء ناقة، قال سهل فلقد رقدتني منها ناقة حمراء. متفق عليه. The incident that happened in this story, which reported by Sahl ibn Abi Hathma, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, that those companions, Abdullah ibn Sahl wa Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud, they went to Khaybar, where the Yahud live in Medina, due to some kind of poverty happened to them. And they've been told that Abdullah ibn Sahl been killed and been thrown in a ditch there. So they went to the Yahud and they told them, you are the killer of my brother. They said, by Allah, we didn't kill him. So he came, him and his brother, and Abdurrahman ibn Sahl. And Abdurrahman Muhayyisa, he started to speak. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, kabbir kabbir, that means start with the older, teaching him about the proper manner, that when there is a gathering or when there is an issue and there is older people there, there is a children and their father, or children and their mother, the children to be quiet and give the adults the chance to talk and discuss, to learn manner and discipline and behavior. Okay? So when these people start to talk, was the Prophet ﷺ said to them, kabbir kabbir, that mean let the older people are the one who start, not the youngers. So after he spoke, the oldest of them Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that they will have to give the blood money or it's going to be a war. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wrote to them, to the Jewish, concerning this issue of the killing of Abdullah ibn Sahl, and that they need to pay the blood money or is going to be a war happening now. They send back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah, that means they swear, by Allah, we didn't kill him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Huwaysa and Muhaysa and Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahl, would you swear and that they kill him and you will get the blood money? They said no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, we let the Jews swear to you. They said no, we don't accept their oath because they are not Muslims. So in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had paid the blood money to them, 100 camels. Sahl said, indeed one of them, of these camels, okay, had kidney. So in this hadith we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took the approach of swearing, okay, that these people who claim accuse the others, for them to swear, and the other people who deny the fact and the murder, for them to swear, and this will be a means to avoid the blood money. And when you do accusation like this, it have to be some kind of means or ways, or it have to be something that happened before to make you assume or accusing somebody by doing this. That a person who accusing others, it will be the first one to swear. If they refuse, now we ask the person that been accused to swear. Also, we hear and understand from this hadith that the imam has the right to pay the blood money to make peace between two tribes or two countries or two communities. And we're talking about the imam, that means the imam of the Islamic State. That a person have to be careful, because the blood is something very serious in Islam, and we could not be claiming somebody else's blood like this. We have to have something very strong, you understand, to make us to believe these things and to be careful of accusing others. That also from this hadith we understand again about the adab and the discipline of Islam, that older people should be the one addressing issues of important affairs before the youngest one, and that Islam encourages us to respect the older people among ourselves. The last hadith in this chapter, which hadith 21 after the first thousand in page number 424, وعن رجل من الأنصار رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقر القسامة على ما كانت عليه في الجاهلية وقضى بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين ناس من الأنصار في قتيل ادعوه على اليهود رواه مسلم. This hadith narrated by a man among the people of Al-Ansar, and hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic. that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had kept the practice of oaths and swearing in case of murder, similar to what used to be pre-Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had did this between the Ansars and somebody that they had claimed that been killed by the Jews. So again, the oath will be taking place if the person deny, and as I said, that will be a collection of 50 people among the tribe or the city, and that each one going to have to swear that he didn't kill neither he know the killer. And in this case, the blood money of this person will be avoided from these people, but still blood money have to be paid for the family of the person who been killed, and the money would be taken from Bayt al-Mal. A new chapter, chapter number 3, fighting or killing the transgressor people from Ahl al-Baghi. This chapter in page number 424 and started with hadith number 22 after the first thousand. The people of Baghi and fighting and killing them. The Baghi means to transgress, to go beyond the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put it down and make it as the limits. And basically this chapter relating to the people who go against the Muslim community and the leader, trying to snatch the power and the authority from him. Again, we're talking about when we say Islamic community and fighting and pillage and bay'ah and all the things, we're talking about Islamic community, that means Islamic state. We are not talking about some people living in Colombia or living in Jersey or living in of a state or whatever, 50 people or 5,000 people. We're talking the Muslim community, that mean all the Muslims in Arabia, in America, in Spain, in France, wherever they are, all of them are under one leadership. Okay, now this you call it the Muslim community. Okay, and the person in charge of them, you call him the Imam. Okay, now if a country, let's say that we, like he says, the United States as example, okay, so now we call the Muslim states, all of them under Abdul Rahman Al-Faruqi Mahmoud Abdullah Al-Johani, whatever, this is the Imam, he's the head of all the states. So finally somebody in Egypt or in France, he collected few soldiers, 50 or 5,000 whatever, and he decided he's going to make what? Get off this regency or leadership or imamship. He's going to have his own city or his own country, and he has nothing to do with this Imam. He's not going to be under his supervision and under his leadership, and he's going to start to fight against the Muslims and take over the media and take over, you understand, the different other places, like, you know, revolution. You heard about revolution and how people organize themselves and come against the leader of this country. So those people, what is their position in Islam? If there is Islamic State and if there is a Khalifa, an Imam for the Islamic State, this what is this chapter relating to. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حمل علينا السلاح فليس منا. السلاح means here whipping, okay, what doesn't matter what kind of whipping, okay, that is something to be utilized to break off from the whole ummah and to fight those who stop them from what they're doing. Islam encourage unities in every aspect, in all levels. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that the one is shaitan, two are shaitanan, and three are jama'at. Okay? And I know a brother here in the community, he, to the best of my knowledge, I never saw him going any place by himself. He always try, if even going to food line, he try to pick anybody in the mask and say, brother, would you like to ride with me to food line? He try his best not to go any place by himself. Okay? So Rasulullah s.a.w. said that one person, especially in traveling, one person is shaitan. Two people are two shaitan, three are rakb. What this mean? That mean when you are by yourself as one person, you are much easier on the shaitan. Okay? It's easy to devout you, to play with your mind, all these things. Two people, still shaitan, still the shaitan have control over them. When they are three, they become like jama'at or a traveling group. The Prophet ﷺ even talking about the salah. He found two people praying together, they have more rewards than a person praying by himself. And the Prophet ﷺ saying, when is the number more, the reward is more. This is the reason for Salat al-Jama'ah is equal with what, 25 times, and in another narration 27 degree than you praying by yourself. In everything, even, hello, ya zalamat al barra. Maybe the microphone is wrong. Even when the Yazlam Yalli Barra, when the Sahaba complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about they eat and they don't get satisfied, he said, maybe you eat in sibrit. Maybe you eat in sibrit. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to eat together. So Islam encourage unity in everything. In everything, okay, and Islam against disunity and division. So the more, and even the help and the assistance of Allah is the jama'at. We are not claiming that 5 people or 10 people or 50 people come together, they became the jama'at, but they are jama'at. They are a group, but they are not the jama'at. But they are better than the 2 people together, 3 people together, 5 people together. Okay? But it has to be on the truth and on the sunnah. Because if 50 people on innovation and you by yourself on the sunnah, you are the jama'at. Okay? You are the jama'at and they are not the jama'at. Okay? So pay attention to this. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that whosoever carry arms against us, that means against the Muslim Ummah, against the united body Okay? He is not one of us. He is not one of us. Does not mean he is became infidel. Okay? But he's not one of us, that mean he acting in a manner not the manner of Muslims. So does not mean that he is a Christian or a kafir now, but his behavior is not Islamic behavior, and this is the reason like the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." The one who deceive us is not one of us. Is he still Muslim? Yes, he's a Muslim, but he's a Muslim sinner. He's a sinner. He's doing something that doesn't agree with the principle of Islam. So the person who carry arms and guns and whatever means of fighting again is the united body of the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ, he's not one of us. Hadith 23 after the first thousand in page number 425 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من خرج عن الطاعة وفارق الجماعة ومات فميتته ميتة جاهلية. Hadith is authentic as well as the one before. Here is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the one who disobey come out of obedience and come out of the Muslim community. Again, don't forget this the, because some people will come and say, okay, oh, you didn't come to pray in Masjid al-Muslimin, now you are not Muslim anymore. Because this is the Jama'at. This is the Jama'at in Colombia. This is the largest Jama'at, and this is the only Jama'at on the Sunnah in whole Colombia. But if somebody didn't come to pray in Masjid al-Muslimin, you could not tell them you are Kafir or you are not Muslim. Yeah, brother, because you didn't come with the Jama'at. This is Jama'at or a Jama'at. This not is the Jama'at. And we have to be very careful of these things, because some Muslims, even in the prison, you go to CCI and you go to Broad River Road, you find them making Jama'at there, and if a brother doesn't pray with them, now what they do to him, they will send somebody to take care of the business, okay? And you know what mean to take care of business, okay? Stab him, throw him from the third, whatever they found any means, okay? And this is reality, this is not stories, I can tell you a lot of stories from my experience with these people there, because they say, brother, I say, yes, brother, the Prophet said that whosoever leave out of the Jama'at, so he's out of the Jama'at, now he deserves whatever happened to him. You see? So this is not right. We still say that it's better for you to be with a Jama'at than being by yourself. More blessings, more barakah, more unity, more. But if somebody didn't come to the Jama'at, okay, he or she, you could not take them out of the role of Islam. You could not tell them that you are not Muslim anymore because you didn't come to Masjid al-Muslimin. That's the right. You could not carry capital punishment. You could not chastise people. This is not in your hand. All what you, if you care for the brother or the sister, give them advice. Other than this, you could not go beyond this because you be the transgressor. So when Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Man kharaja min at-ta'a," the one who stepped out of obedience, "wa faraqa al-jama'a," and separated himself from what? The community. What means the Islamic State? Okay? The community. Wamata, and he died, while in this case will be what? Mata meetatan jahiliya. He will die like the people before Islam, like people of jahiliya. Okay? Again, not mean that he's a kafir, but he is acting in a manner of people pre-Islam, that everybody doing whatever he feels to do. Okay, everybody being his own boss. Okay, tribalism, every tribe has their own, you see. But still we're saying that if there is an imam over the Muslim country, it is a must upon the people to give him pledge, to obey him, total obedience, as long as this obedience, as long as his command is not against the Sharia, is not against the Sunnah. Okay? To such a degree, even if he asks you to come out of your property, okay, he asks you to come and sleep here, to watch this place day and night. Say, okay, I'm going to send money for your family to eat. We send, you understand, like twice a week to visit your family, but you have to be here every day. You could not tell him no. As long as not disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, and as long as in your ability as a human being to do it, you have to do it. But again, like I say, this doesn't apply to all this so-called local community, some here in Colombia, some here in Florida, some people in New York, okay? If the people come together and united their effort to carry, work together, alhamdulillah, this is much better than being individual, two here and three here and five here. But if they did not do it, this between them and Allah. You could not name them and give them, label them by being khawarij and being deviant and being this and that. Okay? And if the imam said in the khutbah that everybody have to come to the meeting tomorrow, you understand, out of respect you come. But it's not obligation. It's not obligation. That means if you didn't come to the meeting, that you be a disobedient, that you are not Muslim anymore. No, this is not right. Okay? So, hadith and verses that talks about bay'ah, pledge, and about dying like before Islam and all these things, is talking about the Khalifa, the head of the state, and talking about Islamic State. And this is one of the major issues that we have a problem with it here in America, the misunderstanding of such hadith. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تقتل عمار الفئة الباغية. الفئة which means a group, باغية which is a transgressor, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had indicated the murder of one of his companions, which is Ammar, may Allah be pleased with him, and he said that the transgressor group are the killer. Okay, so is a fight happening between the Muslims in Safin, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the other side that fighting against Ammar and those who will kill Ammar are what? Are the transgressor one. So this one of the indication and the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next hadith 25 after 1000 is weak. We're going to leave it alone. And last hadith in this chapter, which hadith 26 after the first 1000 in page number 426. وعن عرفجة بن شريح قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من أتاكم وأمركم جميع يريد أن يفرق جماعتكم فاقتلوه. رواه مسلم. Again, this hadith, which is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim, is relating to the head of the state and the Islamic State. The Prophet ﷺ said, when when come try to disunite you, while all of you been united under one man, kill him. No negotiation, okay? No negotiation about it, okay? Get rid of him right away. If all the Muslims had united under a Muslim imam, and somebody say, oh man, look, this man is doing this and that, we have to fight, we have to get rid of him, because he understands this haram there, there is usury as example. There is banks. Banks is haram and the user is haram. But the mischief and the bloodshed will come as a result of fighting against this imam and this ummah. The worst that going to happen and the evil will come out of this will be much, much worse than the usury or this haram that is happening. You see? So as long as the Muslims, they united under one imam, and one person for whatever reason comes, the Prophet ﷺ made one main indication, as long as they establish in the prayer, as long as this imam, he's praying, he commanding the people to pray, so even the general view is Islamically, but there is some gaps and some ups and downs about his khilafah, is still much better than people start fighting and killing, and after this instead one imam will be division, like they used to say about the Osmani khilafah, the Ottoman khilafah was weak, but look after they got rid of it, okay, they was weak, was not the best means to present Islam or representative Islam, but kept the Muslim country, all of them under one leadership, and after they got rid of it, now you can see and you can hear it every day, somebody with revolution and they try to take over the kingdom, try to take over the country, try to take over, understand, and revolution after revolution and killing after thousands and thousands non-stop, okay? So unity with defeats and some sins here and there is still much better than disunity and all these things. So as long as the Muslims are united under one imam, one person will come and try to bring about disunity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam command us to get rid of him immediately. How? By killing him. And inshallah we have more few hadith, and after this we leave the chapter for next week. This chapter number 4 concerning qatal al-jani wa qatl al-murtad. This chapter number 4. Killing the person who transgress and the person who change his religion. Hadith number 27 after the first thousand, page number 426, reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل دون ماله فهو شهيد. رواه أبو داود والنسائي والترمذي, and the hadith is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whosoever die or been killed while he try to defend his property, he is a martyr. Okay, he is a martyr. If a person come transgressor and transgress against you, try to take your property, your car, whatever it is, and in your way defending yourself and keeping your property, you have no choice except to kill him. There's no blood money, no jail, nothing for you. And if you get killed, you are a martyr. Islam respects these properties that you own. It's worth to make this money. And somebody come with the easy way and come want to take it. Islam doesn't say, oh, let it go like this. Okay? But you should first try to find the minimum way to get rid of this problem. As example, if you can shoot his hand, knocking the gun out of his hand, do it. If you could not, except by paralyzing his hand, shooting his hand, now you do his hand. But if you found that there's no way except to kill him, and this is the only way, now you kill him. Alright? Although he's a transgressor, but he still found the lesser mean to stop this evil. Now, if it could not, now you get rid of him, if this is the only way that left for you. Again, if Islam is telling us that you die for defending your property, that you are a martyr, this is telling you that you as a Muslim supposed to take care of your property. So don't gather the money and after this go waste it in drinking or drugs or whatever it is, something has no benefit for you or harm in you. You're only ready to fight somebody coming to take your money, but what you're using your money for something to hurt your own self. It doesn't make sense. But it shows you that you have to take care of your property. And trying to take the property of others is a great sin. The next hadith, hadith number 28, after the first thousand in the same page, reported by Imran ibn Husayn, may Allah be pleased with him, qala qatil. Okay, قاتل يعلى ابن أمية رجلا فعض أحدهما صاحبه فانتزع يده من فمه فنزع ثنيتيه فاختصم إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أيعض أحدكم أخاه كما يعض الفحل لا دية له. متفق عليه. This a fight happened between two Muslims. Between this hadith first in reported by Imran ibn Husayn and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Muslim. The hadith is authentic. And it said that Ya'la, son of Umayyah, he fought with another man. One of them, he bite the other. So the other person tried to snatch his hand from his mouth. As a result of this, that the two front tooth been broken or been pulled out. So after this, he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to judge between them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, does one of you bite as a male camel bites? So there is no blood money for him. Okay, so that means in this case that a person have to defend himself. The person who is biting, okay, he is a transgressor. And the person who pulled his hands out of his mouth, he will try to get out of this trouble. As a result of this, the other person loses his teeth, and for this was no blood money for him. Arguing and fighting and biting and all these things, or arguing and fighting in general is forbidden in Islam. Even boycott to one another is forbidden in Islam more than 3 days. But nevertheless, that if it happens something between Muslims, they shouldn't go to the extreme and act like animals. Okay? They shouldn't act like animals, because there are certain things be done by animals, and this one of them, that the person had tried to use the means of biting like a camel. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give him blood money for this, because he used a dirty or a ugly means of dealing in this fight. Hadith number 27 after 1000, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, qala Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the kunya of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لو أن امرأ اطلع عليك بغير إذن فحذفته بحصات ففقعت عينه لم يكن عليك جناح. متفق عليه. The hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira, that if anyone gaze or spy in you, okay, that peek in you while you're in your privacy, and you throw a pebble or something, as a result of this he lost his eye, no blood money for him, no harm in you. Privacy of Muslims have to be respected. Okay? And people have to respect this, and if they did not respect it, and as a result of this they got harm, no blood money for them.
Mm-hmm. What about your honor?
I don't know what you mean by honor. Do you mind to hold it for 1 minute? Okay? Two to 3 minutes, please.
Okay.
The next hadith is Mursal, although is Sahih according to the Irsal, but reported from Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu an, قال قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن حفظ الحوائط بالنهار على أهلها وأن حفظ الماشية بالليل على أهلها وأن على أهل الماشية ما أصابت ماشية بالليل. That the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم he said that whatever in the field have to be protected by the owner. Also, the cattle have to be protected by their owners, especially during the night. Okay? So, that means if you have these animals in the field running, you have to find a means not for them to be all over the street. And I'm telling you about one thing about my trip to Guyana, I could not believe it. You be driving like 120 kilo an hour, and you have to be prepared any second. You found three donkeys passing, 15 goats, a horse, like this. It's so amazing. Nothing, everything in the street, dogs, name it. You be flying, and people fly, almost they're flying. And after this, you have to be prepared to hit the brake. You will find all the things crossing the street by surprise like this. Coming from the caravan, you found cows in front of you. And I was having my seat belt, and everybody was laughing at me there, you understand, having seat belt, but it was very dangerous, you understand, for me, especially that I was riding in the right, in the left side, and the driver, he drives in the right side. So in Islam it says that it is your responsibility to watch over your cattle, and at night also. And if any damage happen by your cattle and whatever you have in the field, the owner is responsible about the damage. The owner is responsible about the damage. Somebody have a $9,000 car, doctor, this here, a cow crossing the street, okay, in the highway. He could not like this, okay? So people have to be responsible about their cattle, and they have to learn how to keep them in a control during day or night. The hadith before the last two hadith in this chapter, inshallah, we'll close after this. Hadith number 31 in page number 424 عن معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله عنه في رجل أسلم ثم تهود لا أجلس حتى يقتل قضاء الله ورسوله فأمر به فقتل متفق عليه. معاذ ابن جبل concerning, may Allah be pleased with him, he said concerning a man that he became a Muslim. Later on, he went back to his original religion, which Judaism. He said, I'm not going to sit until the decree of Allah and his messenger will be taken place in this man, execution, killing immediately. Okay? As we said before, man baddala deenahu faqtulu. The one who changed his deen, that means from Islam to something else, it have to be killed immediately. So this Sahabi, he said, I'm not going to sit until you people take care of this and do what Allah had commanded on his prophet. So they took this man and they killed him. The hadith before the last one is the chapter عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بدل دينه فاقتلوه. Again, this is the hadith I just mentioned. The hadith reported by Ibn Abbas in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, the hadith is authentic, that whosoever changes his religion, that mean from Islam to something else, not changes religion from Christianity to Islam, okay, if he do this, all his bad sin forgiven. All his best sin is forgiven. But the one who changed his religion from Islam to other thing, what? Kill him immediately. Again, the killing of such a person is not to you or to me. This up to the Khalifa, the Imam of the states. Capital punishment have to be executed by the Imam of the states or his representative or his deputy or whatever his ministry, okay? Not up to everybody go and kill. Oh, this man, he became a kafir, shoot him. No, have to be executed by the Imam of the states or his representative or his deputy or whatever his ministry, okay? Not up to everybody go and kill. Oh, this man, he became a kafir, shoot him. No,